Librarians, librarians, when you've got questions, they're the ones to help you find what you're looking for, and maybe even something more. Just ask that librarian.
Hi, I'm Jim.
And I'm Robin.
And welcome back.
It's
been a while, but here we are. Yeah. Your friendly neighborhood librarians. We're back
in the neighborhood.
And there's like this big event coming up soon, right?
What's happening? I don't know what it is.
I think we've been hearing about it for 3 years now.
Yeah, something like that. I think, yeah. What is it?
The eclipse.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, that's coming up. Today we are joined by the effervescent Sarah, Miss Sarah from our children's department.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, and later on we're going to have Dan Schneiderman, who is Mr. Eclipse, basically, from the Rochester Museum.
The king of the eclipse.
The king of the eclipse.
Yeah.
That guy.
He's everywhere.
What are we doing here at PCL?
So we have a lot happening. Miss Sarah here has been our point person for the children's department.
And it's been busy. It's been fun to plan a lot of things.
So what do we have coming up?
So at the end of March, we've got a couple story times for the younger ones where we're going to sing and we're going to dance and learn all about the eclipse and the sun and the moon, which will be amazing. And then later on at the end of March too, and in the beginning of April for our older kids, we've got a local teacher coming to teach us all about what is an eclipse and the science behind it.
So
and then
fun.
We'll have some activities going on with that. So it'll be really exciting.
Yay.
And, you know, we're going to be all ready for it, which is going to be great.
Oh, that'll be so fun.
And adults and children's are kind of doing a little collab hit there too at the end of March. Tender Chomps. He's a local artist. That's Tim Lynch. And it's a big community art mural.
Yeah.
You can still register for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Every person who registers gets their little own piece of a panel and they get to paint it and it all comes together and it will be put on display in the library. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We did something with Tim over the summer for Shark Week.
Shark Week, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that was an awesome mural. So if you want to be involved with that, you can go to our website. All of these programs require registration. So you can go to our website, go to events and online calendar, and then you can find all those events right there.
Yeah, and we also have a lot of other adult stuff,
too. For sure, we do.
We've done a few things already. We had a trivia night. I'm sorry if you missed that. That
was super fun.
Yeah, it was super fun. It was eclipse trivia, but we're going to have more trivia nights in the future. Not eclipse related, you know, different topics. But anyway, adult eclipse topics. We've got Jim Porter. He's a NASA ambassador. I mean, that's pretty cool. He's going to come here and visit.
That one, as far as I know, that one is full up, but get on the waiting list.
Yeah, you never know if people drop out. Or we're going to have a film panel with folks from around town talking about their favorite space films.
Yeah,
that's always a lot of fun. We've done those.
Good. Yeah, I love space movies.
Me too. They're my favorites. And then we have someone from the astronomy section of the Rochester Academy of Science coming, and that's in early April. So you still have a while for that. Registration's open. It just opened recently, so there's definitely space there. A lot of great stuff. So
yeah, we have a couple of teen events happening too. Our standard community service, where kids are going to be making envelopes for eclipse glasses. Keep those glasses safe before we have to use them. And an eclipse letter bracelets program, which will be very, very fun. We know that friendship bracelets are extremely important. So yeah, I mean, we have a full slate of stuff happening here.
There's about a month left. It's all eclipse all the time
it
in
is.
Rochester, but
for us, especially, we are very excited.
It's not happening again until 2144, right?
Yeah. So anyway, we are so excited to hear from Dan.
He's the Eclipse Partnership Coordinator at the Rochester Museum and Science Center. And he's the guy who is really just promoting and just cheerleading the big event that's on Monday, April 8th, 2024. Let's bring him on. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We're excited you're here. We're excited to talk eclipse.
So I guess, like, right off the bat, for folks that don't know, why is this eclipse so special and why is it such a big deal?
So the reason why this is so special is, well, we haven't had a total solar eclipse here in Rochester since 1925.
Wow.
A lot of people got to experience the one in 2017. We had a gorgeous day here in Rochester that day. It was only about 70% covering the sun. But this time, April 8th, 2024, we will actually be in totality.
To the layman?
Yeah.
Totality is what happens when the moon completely obscures the sun, and we'll get this for over 3.5 minutes, depending on where you're standing, and it's just this eerie feeling. The temperature drops, animals think that it's nighttime, it becomes just still.
That's my favorite aspect of it, the animals. I remember hearing that the first time, like, whoa, animals are going to get ready for bed and all that. And
I know, they don't realize what's happening. I didn't, you know, I never thought about that because we're all ready for it.
Yeah,
we're
exactly.
Excited, but they're just, you know,
squirrels are getting up in their tree hammocks and stuff, getting ready to turn in for the night. I think that's what people maybe don't get, that it's going to be dark. It's going to be something, you know, special.
Right. It's just once in a lifetime.
Exactly. It's not happening again until...
Well, we won't get it here. We won't receive it here in Rochester again until 2144.
Wow.
So this is literally once in a lifetime.
Yes,
so
once in multiple lifetimes.
Yeah.
If a kid is born on the day of the April 8th eclipse, their grandkids' kid, or more likely their grandkids' grandkid, will be around for that eclipse.
That's nuts.
I guess your job seems like it's been a lot of preparing everybody else for this, right? Like how big of a deal it's going to be. All the schools, the public schools in the county are closed on that day. It's a Monday. It would have been a school day. Now it's tacked on to the end of spring break. You know, what were your first steps in preparing Monroe County and the region for this?
So I first joined this larger eclipse task force back in 2019, which has technically been meeting since like slightly before even I joined in. I had heard about this. I had been partnering up with the RMSC for years. I am a lover of all things astronomy. I experienced 2017 here in Rochester, so I have yet to experience a total solar eclipse. But I went into that meeting reading like maybe 3 to 4 books about the eclipse. This led to, you know, saying, hey, would you mind getting more and more involved? And just went down that rabbit hole.
The day-to-day of your job must be different every day, I would imagine, that you're just dealing with different people, trying to clue people in. What's it been like? What is the average day, work day like for Dan Schneiderman?
You absolutely nailed it that no 2 days are alike, because anything, my day could be anything from writing funding applications and working on grants to giving talks, presentations, reaching out with camps or schools. It could be traveling about 1 to 2 hours away to say, hey, you may be in the path or you may not be in the path, but you're still going to be impacted. It could be going to festivals and setting up our giant eclipse classes and getting people to actually look at the sun.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun to do and tell people to do the one thing they've always been told not to do.
Yeah.
That never gets old.
That's probably what people are looking forward to a little bit the most.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We know what the number one question is that we get here at the library when it comes to eclipses. Yeah. Do you have the glasses?
Do you have glasses?
Do you have the glasses? Yeah. That becomes
That was our number
job.
One question last time. Yeah.
But what is the number one question that you get?
Oh, I get that number one question that comes up quite often here in Rochester and honestly, Western New York and all of New England, which is, hey, it's early April. What's going to happen if it's cloudy that day?
And the answer is?
It's still going to get dark. Nice. We have no control over the sun, the moon, the earth, or the weather.
Yeah.
It's still going to happen no matter what. In fact, it'll feel even darker if it is still cloudy. Though, we do have a 51% chance of a clear sunny day.
Okay.
And even if it's a partly cloudy day, we still have a great chance. Back in 2017, they were at Homestead National Monument. They had thunderstorms in the hours leading up to the eclipse. If you see the footage, for which there was a lot of footage, you can see that it was just pouring, and you can even see rain going off in the background. But for just a few minutes, the clouds parted, and they were able to see totality.
Oh,
amazing.
Man.
Amazing.
That's really cool.
And what's staggering to me, I think, is that so many folks are going to be traveling to this region, basically the I-90 corridor, right? That's kind of like the path that follows along.
A destination because of the totality here.
And people are expecting big numbers here. Do you know what the numbers might look like?
We are expecting anywhere between 300,000 and 500,000 additional visitors to the 9-county region.
Wow.
Wow.
So that makes me think, you know, there's going to be a lot of people out, right? And where are we supposed to go?
What are we supposed to do? What's your recommendation for a good viewing experience?
My personal opinion would be, no matter where you are, just be with the people who you want to be, because some people prefer to be at festivals. Some people prefer to be in nature. Honestly, being at home in your backyard with family and friends is a great way to enjoy it.
Yeah.
We'll be running our own eclipse festival, but we're encouraging people to either hold their own, go to their local library, go to their nearest community center, and just view it there. You don't have to go far. There's, as long as you are with the people who you want to be with, you will forever remember that moment.
You know, that kind of gave me chills when you mentioned that at the presentation you gave here. It's like, wow, this is a once in several lifetimes event, and it is going to be special. So don't, you know.
Yeah, it's not something to take lightly.
No.
Which I guess maybe people are thinking of it as like an exciting thing. But it's a good point that this is something you'll remember for the rest of your life.
All right. So quick question. What's, you know, the day after the eclipse going to be like for you? What's, I can't even imagine. Just going to walk.
It's going to be a good day, right?
Go for a walk. And
Number one, I'm sleeping in that day.
Yeah. Yes,
I doubt I will be getting much sleep in the days leading up the eclipse.
But
otherwise, it's going to be a lot of, you know, press coverage still, kind of wrapping things up, starting my thank yous. I'm going to have so many people to say thank you.
Yeah.
too, in lots this entire region. Writing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to go on for months. But, you know, it'll just be kind of a recovery day, making sure that transportation issues are being dealt with.
Yeah.
And kind of just taking it all in.
Wind it down. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's amazing. It, you know, Robin and I were talking before this. We were thinking, like, you know, we just, we're fascinated by your position. Yeah, it sounds so cool.
It seems like, you know, your whole world is the eclipse. And so I was like, I wonder if there's ever a day that you don't think about the eclipse. Or if there's like, if you're not thinking about the eclipse, you know, what's going on that can distract you from that? It just seems like it's such a all-encompassing thing.
It has taken over more of my life than I care to admit. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, I will occasionally wake up in the middle of the night and I'll be thinking about something related to the eclipse one way or another.
Yeah.
I mean, thankfully, my daughter does a great job of distracting me.
That's good.
Yeah. Kids always have a good way of doing that. Yeah.
Do you have eclipse dreams, nightmares, anything like that?
Oh, I've had a mixture of both. And I have for years. I mean, even just during the first 2 weeks on the job, I was up every night just thinking, how do I handle this? How do we scale this?
Can't imagine. That's a lot. It's a lot.
But it is a lot.
Credit to you. I think everyone that sees what you're doing out there realizes that you're like a dynamo at this. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool to watch you rally the county in the nine county area, really. So it's kudos to you. It's fantastic, and you've gotten me excited about it. I remember going to the first MCLS meeting about the eclipse, which I don't even know what it was, 2021 maybe.
Yeah.
And I was like, are we serious? This is like 3 years away. And then you spoke and I got it. So credit to you. Very cool.
It is such an easy job to wake up and get excited about every day. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. That's what you want in a job.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we're going to switch gears a bit here, and of course, it's a library, and let's talk about books. You've mentioned already that you've done some reading for the eclipse, but we'll get into, you know, some more broader strokes here, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you want to use the eclipse as a launching point, are there any books that you read that were particularly helpful or influential as you were preparing for this?
There was a number of books that came out around 2017 that talked about, hey, here's how different eclipses have been handled in the last couple of years. There's a great book by Tyler Nordgren, who is the artist behind our eclipse poster for the region.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful artwork.
And he's a great author as well, and he does this whole history on the impact of eclipses. There's a book by Kate Russo. It's a book just of collected experiences from total solar eclipses.
Very cool.
Very little to do about the science.
Yeah.
But everything to do about the human reaction.
Nice.
That's very great. Cool. All right. So let's take it back to your childhood, though. How would you characterize your experience with reading in childhood? Were the books that and authors that you gravitated towards?
I did a ton of reading. And admittedly, my grandmother was a librarian within the Monroe County Library System. Worked out of the Winton branch. So,
cool.
I mean, I went to libraries once or twice a week for just about my entire life.
Nice.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear this. Yes. So this makes us happy.
I mostly inhaled a lot of science fiction and fantasy as a kid, started to get a little bit into history, you know, clearly remember reading Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy for the first time as a kid.
That's awesome. Get drawn in by that cover, right, with the thumbs up. Yeah.
It's a fantastic book. Yeah.
So is there anything you read in a book recently, a fact or an idea that like kind of stopped you in your tracks?
I wouldn't say it fully stopped me in my tracks, but I remember reading Lab Girl not too long ago, within the past year, and just kind of getting that view of someone who's out studying the trees and talking about what it's like entering the scientific community, going from a student into college into, you know, actually being a professor, the environmental impact, that just kind of got to me.
Yeah, no, that's a great book. That was super popular when it first
came out. It was, yeah, absolutely.
The sequel is good as well.
Oh, I didn't know.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I always love to hear this. Is there a favorite book you've read for the first time recently?
That would have to be the Lady Astronaut series.
Okay.
By Mary Robinette Kowal.
Okay.
My wife and I were out camping a couple years ago, and I had borrowed that book, and then all of a sudden I inhaled it and just couldn't put it down, and then gave it to my wife, and then she inhaled it.
Nice.
And then we immediately took out the second and third book. We need more.
Isn't it a good feeling? I find once in a while you're reading something and you're like, all right, fine, just reading to get through it.
Yeah.
But then it hits right and, you know, you buzz through it.
Really like get into it. That's
connect.
Always a good feeling. Yeah.
All right. So let's say you have your own podcast and you can invite any one writer, living or dead, to the show to interview them and talk books or whatever their area of expertise is. Do you have anyone in mind?
Two people jump to mind. One would be Carl Sagan. just because I would love to just chat with him, and knowing that he did both science and, I mean, is probably one of the best science communicators out there, but also had this, you know, streak of artist in him. Mm-hmm. And then the other would be Neil Gaiman.
Mm. Oh, that's a good pick.
That would be awesome.
Easily Neil Gaiman, probably my favorite author. Mm-hmm.
We have some librarians here that would probably pick Neil Gaiman as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Dan. This was a treat. Probably going to see Dan Schneiderman out and about promoting the Eclipse. So you'll get to know him pretty well.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Okay. And just a reminder for everybody out there who's looking for their glasses.
This is the big question.
This is our highlight. Here at Pittsford, you only can receive glasses if you sign up for one of these fantastic programs. I think it's going to be worth your time.
Yeah, it's because our supplies are so limited.
Yeah, these events are awesome. So if you register for one of these events, we will be handing them out at the end of the program.
All right. Until next time, see you later.
Toodles. Thank you to Mel Dez, producer, librarian, and magician. Joy Brown, our IT director. Laura, April, and Hillary for our fantastic theme music, the Town of Pittsford and the Friends and Foundation for support of the library and giving us the ability to do such awesome projects, and to the New York Times for the use of the By the Book column. Find the library on Facebook and Instagram at Pittsford Community Library, and keep up to date on everything happening at PCL by subscribing to our newsletter. Subscribe to hear new episodes every month on your favorite podcast app.